with Dr. Keith Suter.
Donald Trump has been hit with unprecedented criminal charges over what prosecutors allege was a wide-ranging conspiracy to subvert the will of American voters and cling to power after his 2020 election defeat. The former president will be arrested for the third time in 4 months this week in Washington, D.C. He'll likely face further charges later this month as prosecutors in Georgia finalize a separate indictment over his efforts to overturn the loss that ended his first term in power. To talk about this, we welcome to the program from Global Directions, Dr. Keith Suter. Hello, Keith.
Yes, good afternoon.
I trust you are well.
Yes, thank you.
You're probably better off than Donald Trump, although, although I've got to say, he was given the opportunity to not have to go to court. It could be done, if you like, via camera, via video, and he chose to make the trip to court, I dare say, so that he'll get all the publicity shots.
Absolutely. So he's using this as part of his re-election campaign, and he's using it for fundraising. So that every time he appears in court or has a run-in with lawyers, he issues appeal letters and the money keeps pouring in. So it's a very simple formula. The US government is helping raise money, in effect, for Donald Trump.
This is, what, the third time? There could be four indictments, and plus we've got the Stormy Daniels civil case as well, haven't we?
Yeah, so what we've got then, we've got... Well, in New York, yes, it revolves around Stormy Daniels and Trump's payment of money to her to keep her quiet before the election. That was perfectly legal, but then they accounted for it wrongly, or allegedly wrongly. And so that's an accounting issue, but rather than a moral issue of paying money to a porn star. But yes, you're right, there's also a civil action going on with Stormy Daniels suing Donald Trump for remarks that he made about the earlier court case. So that's number one. That's in New York. Down south in Florida, he's being charged with leaving office with a secret document, classified documents, and then preventing the government from getting those documents back. Now, politicians do accidentally leave office with documents, but they have tended to hand them back as soon as they're found. Trump, by contrast, was maneuvering them around his huge estate in Florida deliberately to prevent them from being handed back. So that'll be a separate case, a separate court case. That's number two. Number three relates to his actual time as president. And there are two issues. One, which we're looking at the moment, is in Washington, D.C., where he's being accused of, in effect, conspiracy to overturn the January 6th election. It's going to be a very complicated case. If it's proven, if he's found guilty, it's the most serious so far of the three cases, but it's going to be very complicated to prove it. And it's a conspiracy, which means that you've got to have other people involved. Now, there are a number of other people who have been identified without their names being mentioned. But when you read the affidavit, you read between the lines and you can see that there's a reference to his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, another lawyer, Sidney Powell, for example. So they haven't yet been identified. It may be that they are cooperating with the inquiry, in which case they will get a much lesser sentence. So that's the case we're looking at today. And then, as you say, there's a fourth one coming up, which is in Georgia. Trump is caught on tape asking the, in effect, returning officer to find a certain number of votes in order for him to win this knife-edge part of the election in 2020, which would give him Georgia and give him extra votes. So he's actually... The conversation is caught on tape. It's going to be interesting to see how his defense team try to get out of that one.
But as you say,
so that's the fourth one.
All of this is just adding to the hype of him standing for re-election in 2024. And if you like, he certainly goes by the "any publicity is good publicity" slogan.
Absolutely, and it's working well. Remember, the election next year will be in two stages. First of all, you've got to get the nomination of your own party. And as we speak today, that will certainly be Donald Trump for the Republican Party. It'll come amidst a number of trials, but all of that will simply add to his profile. So that's the first stage. Then, of course, in November, you have the general election, the presidential election, and the view of most commentators is that he won't win there, because you've not only got to get the party faithful out to vote for you, but you also want to bring in the independents. In other words, people who are not aligned, people who are just casual voters, etc. They will be the people who would decide. And the view is that Biden will win, not because people are excited about Biden, but because Biden is not Trump. And so they will simply vote for whoever is the alternative to Donald Trump, which will be Biden, even though a lot of people are saying the man's too old to run.
So I was going to say everything old is new again, but everything old is just old again, really.
Yes, it is. You'd have to think that a country of 330 million could come up with younger candidates.
Sadly, that's not the case. We talked about that on the program before, Keith. It's a story that keeps on percolating, as they say. And no doubt we'll catch up and talk again.
Indeed. Thanks, Brent.
Thank you, Keith. Bye bye. That's Dr. Keith Suter from Global Directions.